So today I'm going to talk to you about church. Keeping it real. Church, keeping it real. There's something for everyone at church.
That's right.
There is something for everyone at church. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, there is something for everyone at church.
There's something for everyone at church.
Years ago, there was a milk commercial. Do you remember the milk commercial? It said, "Got milk?"
Yep.
And it was all the dairy people that were like, and they had a big question mark, and they had people with the milky mouth. You know, they had the milk mustache. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
I'm not, okay, and it says, "Got milk?" And it was, the whole thing was, "Do you have milk? Do you have milk?" Because it was all the dairy farmers were trying to promote that we should drink milk. Well, you know, we've got something far better than milk. We've got the Word of God, and we got the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, as Pastor Christine was talking about encountering that lady over there at the September Fest. And there were multiple encounters. Iris could tell you of some. She was praying with people and just being bold as a lion out there. She'd step out from the table and pray. You know, God's put us in a position where people are needing hope. They're needing a place. The word ecclesia is where we get the word church from. That is the word. It's a Greek word, ecclesia. In the Latin languages, l'église, right? And so what we find out, did I say that correctly? Iris, did I say l'église?
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
It sounds good.
Sounds good? Okay.
Yeah, all right. Ecclesia. All right. Like it's fine.
She's so nice to me because I'm such the gringo when it comes to my Spanish pronunciation. But the point is this. The word comes from a Greek word. And the Greek word is a very significant word. If we understand it, then it's going to help our understanding of church. Okay? So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. All right, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at this word, ecclesia, or church. Okay, and one of the wonderful things about this particular word is that it tells us that it was a gathering of people. It was a gathering of people that were literally coming together for worship. They were coming together for worship. The gathering together of people for worship. And when we understand that that's what it was an assembly of people.
Hallelujah.
It was an assembly of people. It literally meant gathering people together in the Greek language. Now, sometimes in our modern society, we get away from the real root words of what things mean. And we get away from the idea of, well, you know, church is just this ethereal idea. You know, if I believe in Jesus, then it's all okay because I just believe in Jesus. And yes, it's true. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Or sitting in a garage makes you a car. Okay, and so these are really important things to understand. So, in fact, some people, you know, will say, well, are you a Christian? Well, I was born in America. I guess I'm Christian. And what happens is we kind of miss this idea of church, and we almost dismiss it as an old-fashioned idea. Mm-hmm. That's just an old-fashioned, ancient idea. We really don't need church. We're just going to find our own way because, you know, I like little parts of Buddhism, and I like little parts of this, and I like little... That's what people say,
yeah,
right?
I've heard of
that. And then they kind of come up with their own thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the word tells us that when that happens, you know, every way is right in a man's own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it can lead to destruction.
Right.
Destruction. And so none of us want to be a part of that. But today I've got some really good news for you. When you connect with a church, and I know that some of you connect online, partly because of distance, partly because we have this wonderful communication tool called the internet, and it's great. But the whole point of connecting personally is so valuable. I'm going to talk to you about some real key benefits of being a part of a local church. So in Hebrews 10:25, Hebrews 10:25, you've probably heard this passage before. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hebrews 10:25. Amen. All right. Here we go. And it says this: not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as some in the manner, or as is some manner of some. Excuse me. As is the manner of some. But exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And the verse right before that says, let us consider one another in order to stir up what? Love and good works. Yesterday I saw a lot of love and I saw a lot of good works. Because what were we doing? We were touching our community. We were there saying, hey, we love you. Jesus loves you. God calls you. Years ago, the head of the Salvation Army, if I'm not mistaken, in the UK, put a big billboard on the top of an old building that said, Jesus loves you and God calls you. If we could get that message out to people and kind of cut away some of the other stuff, they would find the benefit of being a part of the called out ones, which is another aspect of the word ecclesia, the called out ones, not just called out, but called together. Am I right, Pastor Joe?
Amen.
And it's great to have Pastor Joe here today, too, playing on his staff. It's awesome. Always great to have him. What a good friend to our church he has been. Yesterday, he even came and hung out for a little while and was there offering his presence and support. It was really, really awesome. According to statistics, researchers in Canada found that depression was 22% lower among those who attended church regularly.
Say it again.
Depression was 22% lower than those who attended church. Yeah. Yeah. Number two. And listen, our world needs answers, and they don't always need it in a pill.
Amen.
Or a political movement.
Amen.
Am I right?
I'm looking at Mike.
They need something that is real and authentic. They're looking for the real.
Yes. Right.
It also tells us people who attend church have a better ability to manage their time and achieve their goals. And that's because we follow a God who calls us to redeem the time.
Yeah, right.
Just read Ephesians chapter 5. Redeem the time because the days are evil. What does redeem the time mean? Redeem means to buy it back. When you give time to God in church attendance and church involvement and church work like yesterday, a full 8-hour day or whatever it was, 10 hours, 12, I think we got home close to 8, and I think we were over there at about 8:30. So it was a full day. But let me tell you something, it was a good day. A good day. Amen? When you give time, God's able to make it up to you. That's what I want you to see. There's some benefits of being involved in a local church.
Come on, preach it.
All right. Church attendance also has a direct effect of reducing bad behavior, drug use, violence, delinquency among youth that are at risk. And those students that are in here. Church attendance also is related to higher grades in math, reading, and higher scores.
Well.
Church attenders are more likely to complete homework.
Well.
And degree programs.
Wow.
Now here's a good one for you. Those of you that like to live long, you like to use all your vitamins and your supplements and do all your stuff like that, which is good. I do some of it too. You know, we do, without a doubt. Church attendance actually lowers the risk of death and gives you longer life expectancy. Now listen. Don't get me wrong, the death rate among Christians is 100%.
Okay?
Okay. But apparently people of faith live longer.
That's right.
Those who go to church more than once a week enjoy better health. Right?
That's right.
They reduce their mortality factors. Church going is 25. Let me read this again. It says this. It says church going is 25%. A huge amount. It actually decreases your morbidity rate 25%.
Come on.
I don't think you can buy a supplement at Whole Foods that would do that.
Not at all.
Okay. So. Researchers say that it actually helps. And those who act, and what's also interesting, you say, Pastor, is this just Christians? And what's really interesting about this study that was done in Saskatchewan, Canada, in the last 10 years, it said this, that for some reason, these stats don't hold up with any other faith group.
Amen.
Wow.
Wow. Good.
In other words, they don't apply to any other faith group. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, I want to talk to you today that I want to give you 10 really, I'm going to try to get through them quickly so that we don't get bogged down in any one of them. But we're going to go through some scriptures that will help you anchor you to the benefits of being a part of a local church, okay? Number one, it helps connect us with God. We just read Hebrews 10:25, and you say, well, that doesn't say anything about really connecting with God. Yes, it does. In verse 24, it certainly does. And it also at the end, it says, exhorting one another so that much more as we see the day approaching. What is that? Church attendance helps to connect us with God. It helps us to connect us with God. Church involvement and attendance, number two. I'm on my second one already because I'm going through this. I don't want to get bogged down. I want to let you guys enjoy the day. Church attendance gives us a chance to reflect on gratitude.
That's today.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing. It's been an attitude of thankfulness. And it's not Thanksgiving, but for Christians, every day is Thanksgiving.
Amen.
Because where would I go?
Yeah.
Where would I be without the Lord?
That's right.
When we pastored and started the church in the British Virgin Islands as missionaries, you would say to the people, how are you doing today? And then, you know what they'd say? Thank the Lord he woke me up this morning.
Thank
the Lord he woke me up this morning. And then they get excited and they say, let's big up our God. Let's big him up. Let's make him bigger. Let's exalt the Lord, right? So church attendance gives us a chance to reflect on gratitude. I'm so thankful for all that he has done. It gives us a space to give thanks with others. Turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. It gives us a space, if you will. I like to put it in those terms, a space. To thank with others, to actually thank God with other people. It's not just this private me and Jesus thing. Yes, there is the intimate personal time with God, and I don't want to discount that, but there is also the corporate time. Notice what it says in Psalm 100, and it's a song of praise for God's faithfulness to what? To his people. And it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. He is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. What a great song of thanksgiving, of gratitude that we can do with others. Number three, church connects us socially. We, as according to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, we're part of the family of God. This, our church happens to be named Westchester Family Church. It's not just that we want to cater to families, but we have become a family. when I look around at some of the faces who've been with us since day one and since the early days of this church, we've become a family who carry each other's burdens. And as Pastor Christine said over here, sometimes you sit in each other's pain.
Yeah.
And some of you have gone through some of those difficult times in your life. And who's been there? Your church family has been there in those painful times, in those tough times, in those dark times, in those times of loss. Where do people go?
Yeah.
They end up in a bar sometimes, staring at a glass.
Yeah.
I'd so much rather be with the people of God. So church helps to connect us socially in an unconnected world. We might be technologically connected with all of our devices. And who did you log in? Do you have the Wi-Fi code? You ever been around a teenager or even an adult now? Used to be teenagers. Now it's everybody. Do you have the Wi-Fi passcode here?
No.
That's what everybody asks. You know, you go into a business. Is there a Wi-Fi here? Because everybody wants to stay connected with their device. And thank God we can use this. That's why I'm even broadcasting live right now. I'm thankful for it. But here's the thing. We've got to do more than just connect on a device. We've got to connect. We've got to sometimes look at each other in the eye and say, hey, listen, how are you doing? I love you. Are you okay? You doing all right? You know, sometimes you got to have that in your life. We were created for connection. We were created for that opportunity to connect as human beings. Church helps us to connect with our spouse, our family. You know, often when we're home on a Sunday afternoon, we reflect as a family some of the things we experienced in our worship time. I'm not saying every family does it, and I'm not saying we do it every single Sunday, but often we will talk as a family, maybe about a sermon, if there's a guest speaker, if something really cool happened, if there was a move and a flow of the Holy Spirit, somebody spoke in tongues, somebody interpreted in tongues, somebody got healed. We reflect on those moments and we're able to go deeper, and it's not just about who won the football game yesterday. It goes from surface level to, hey, what did you think about the pastor saying that? What did you think about the Word of God? What did you think about that scripture? That really, really pierced me. That scripture really spoke to me. Or that scripture is going to go with me this week because I'm facing something at work that I've never faced before. You see, these are the benefits of being a part of a church family. It connects us socially. And it helps to connect us in an unconnected world, even though we think we're connected just because we're online. Church gives us, the next thing, church gives us space to practically practice reverence in a world that is irreverent. In a world that doesn't really understand honor. It doesn't understand being quiet. And if you don't believe me, go to any high school music concert or drama, and you will find the audience is sometimes some of the most rude audiences because they're not trained. We don't know how to be reverent when somebody is presenting something. That's what I'm talking about. They even have a problem down in Broadway. Why do you think they have all those people with the flashlights? Telling people, no, you can't come in right now. We have a society that doesn't understand reverence. We have a society that just wants to, well, it's all about the individual rather than just being honored, practicing reverence. When you come to church, you have an opportunity to have those quiet moments, to have those moments of worship, to have those moments where somebody just kneels down. You know, I was sharing yesterday with somebody about some of the experiences that we've had in youth camp when the presence of God, and I just decided I was going to be bold, and I just said, listen, we pray for boldness, right? Open our mouths. And I was talking to somebody who I knew didn't know the Lord. But I was like, you know, when the presence of God just came down, and I've been there when teenagers have been on their knees weeping before God. I've been there when they've raised their hands in worship with tears streaming down their face. I've been in those moments, And then they looked at me and they said, well, have you always done this? And I said, well, when I was a teenager, God got a hold of my heart like never before. And that's why I do what I do. And I was able to testify of God's faithfulness. So church gives us a space to practice reverence and worship corporately. Turn with me to Psalm 122. You're really close there. Psalm 122. And it says this in Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Listen, I'm glad when I have that opportunity to go into the house of the Lord. I am so happy. And don't get me wrong, Sunday mornings, don't just look at me in that tone of voice. Sunday mornings can be tough when you're trying to get your family together. When we had all of our children and they were all younger, we had to get here early, getting them out of bed. Do you understand that pastors are not exempt from the hassles of life? Of like, the dog didn't go out again, or this or that. Oh, and gotta get, come on, we gotta get to church. It is not always the easiest thing. You know, it would be a whole lot easier. It's just to cuddle up underneath a blanket, right, on a cozy, warm or cold day. You know, cuddle underneath a blanket and just say, oh, let me just binge watch. You know, that would be a whole lot easier. But I want to tell you, once you take that authority and control and say, no, I've made a quality decision, I'm going to be a part. And if you have to be at home to log in, you log in and say, no, this is set apart time. I'm not scrolling 18 other places. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right at Westchester Family Church, and I'm connected. And sometimes Brother Colin sends you a little message and tells you he's right there because he's here, but he's there too. You know, he's two places at once. You know, he's sort of like the Energizer Bunny. So, but you know, so we have that opportunity to actually practice reverence and to be together and to share God's goodness together, and that is so important to be able to do that. Amen. Amen. All right. The next thing. It gives us an opportunity to practice reverence and worship corporately. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Church provides plenty of opportunity to give back. Turn with me to Galatians 6:10. It gives us an opportunity to give back. You give your time. You give your talent. You give your treasure. Your time, talent, and treasure. It takes money. It does.
Yes, it does.
It really does. I mean, they don't just say, oh, poof, the lights are on. Poof. You know, somebody asked me, they said, somebody actually who does not go to our church actually asked me, they said, how much do they charge you for this tent space? And I said, well, I think I'm pretty sure we get a discount because we're a not-for-profit. But it's $350 just to go put our tent up. Okay? And they were like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, that's just that part of it. That's not all the other things that it takes to do stuff. You know, ministry is work as well. So when you work, that is part of who you are. You're working for... So I'm not talking about working off your salvation. So don't even go there with me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we work and serve unto good works.
Yep, that's right.
We do that. So whether it's taking a sign in or Miss Nobby getting here early and vacuuming this floor, that's work. That's effort. That's something that you... So church gives you an opportunity to give back. Going to a Sunday school class, teaching a Sunday school class, setting up for youth. Am I right?
Amen.
Jackson's... setting up or breaking down for youth. You know, it takes effort. And some of our young people get here early. In fact, almost all of our young people get here early on Sundays, and it's awesome because they're doing all kinds of stuff, setting up tables and bringing things down from upstairs and putting signs out and doing things like that. What is that? That teaches us to give back. So being a part of church teaches us and gives us opportunities to give. Galatians 6:10 talks about doing good, especially to those in the house of faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially to those in the household of faith. In other words, come on, church, bless each other. Every now and then, just give somebody a gospel handshake. And if you don't know what a gospel handshake is, put some money that you just want to bless somebody with. I am not talking about an offering. I'm talking about just put some money in your hand and then shake their hand. You say, we don't shake hands, it's COVID. We have hand sanitizer, okay? But the idea is, here, I just wanted to bless you.
There you go.
Because you have no idea.
There you go.
You know, one time I had no cash and I was not. And I'm not saying this because I want you to do it to me. I'm talking about doing it to each other. Okay? So, and I was there at a meeting, and Pastor Kenneth Hagin, head of all of Rhema Ministries, he just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, Doug. If you ever listen to him, that's how he talks. He's from Texas. Hey, Doug, come here. Come here. And he just shook my hand. I didn't know what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
And I looked in my hand, and there was a $100 bill.
Praise God.
And what was he doing? He was just blessing me. Just because he wanted to bless me. He had in his heart that he was going to bless somebody, and then he saw me, and the Holy Spirit said, bless him. He had no idea that I needed that $100.
Praise God.
Because I showed up to that men's conference with nothing.
Amen.
With no cash. Nothing. I was taking I was staying at a friend's house, borrowing a car with their gas, because all I could do was come up with the airfare to Tulsa.
Come on.
Amen.
And so why do I tell you these things? Because it's real. And when you are part of a church family, the called out ones, we are called out of the world, but we're called together to bear one another's burdens. And sometimes people say, well, I didn't want to call the pastor because I didn't want to, you know, he's got so much, I just don't. How do you know that we're so burdened, right? Just go ahead and ask. Just go ahead and ask. Just say, hey, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Ask one another, hey, sister, brother, can I pray with you? It's a part of being the family of God. It's a part of who we are and who God has made us to be. So being a part of a church gives you an opportunity to give, giving one to another, giving life to our community. It also helps us to grow through issues in our lives. We all got stuff. One of the classic sermons that ever come from this pulpit was from Reverend Ennis. And it was, we all got stuff. We all got stuff. So don't look at me in that tone of voice. We all got it, right? And you all got family members that you just go, no, here we go again, right? Okay, we got stuff. We do, all of us, right? We live in this world. And this world is, it's a hurting world. And we need each other. We all got stuff. And being a part of a church actually helps you grow through those issues of our lives. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. We can grow through issues in our lives, and we can find out together what it's like and how we can learn from one another's trials and from one another's victories, because it's not always about, you know, all the bad things that happen to us.
That's right.
This is a place where you can share the good things.
That's right.
You can share the good things. Say, hey, I got a promotion. Hallelujah. I got a raise. Glory to God. I got this. I got Hey, listen, I got a new car. And some of you believe in God for a car.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're believing God for a different car. Or you're believing God for a new car. A car is not going to leave you on the side of the road. Right? You can give that testimony. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me a car. Right? All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And it says, and not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So being a part of church will help you grow through issues in your life. It also teaches you forgiveness. It teaches you forgiveness. Why? Well, because, you know, you have opportunity to forgive one another too. In Ephesians 4, turn with me quickly, Ephesians 4. I know I'm going a little long. I need to wind this up. Yeah, I'm having fun, and you guys look like you're enjoying it, but I know we gotta move on. All right, so Ephesians 4:32, it says this, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. There is no other place that you can do that so effectively as church. And you say, why? Because when you're working together, you're going to have opportunity to kind of go crossways with each other. You see it one way, they see it another way. You have an opportunity to walk in love, and it's in a safe environment.
That's right.
That you can say, oh yeah, I can do that. I can do that. And what you do is you learn forgiveness, because God, and you're always being reminded when you're in church, God forgave me. I can forgive those around me. Oh, that's not a big deal. I can move on. I can actually let it go, right? I can let it go. And so those are some things. So being a part of a church actually teaches us forgiveness. Being a part of a church, next one, it fills your heart with song. Ephesians 6:19, you're very close there. Ephesians 6:19. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is good stuff. Amen. Ephesians 6:19. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Actually, did I miss that? Hang on, sorry. I might have put that in the wrong context. All right, on my notes, Hebrews 2.12, sorry, go to Hebrews 2.12. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2.12. Hebrews 2.12. This is good. This is good. Turn to your neighbor and say, got church?
Got church.
All right, Hebrews 2.12. This is good. He says this, I will declare your name, my brethren, in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. What is that? That goes back to in the midst of the assembly. That's worshiping together. That is worshiping together. It will fill your heart with song. It will fill your... The last thing. Church is where you can find purpose and deeper meaning for your life. You can find out that God has... He's got plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God wants you to find that deeper meaning in life when you're a part of a church family. It also is that same place that you would find a togetherness. I like to put it this way. It is not only where you find what your purpose in life is, but it is a place, Acts 4:23, it's a place that you find comfort when you're going through a rough time. It's called your own company.
Yeah.
Acts 4 and 23,
right.
Says that after Peter and John were persecuted and they were roughed up for their faith, right? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 23, they were suffering for the things of God. It says, and being let go, they went to their own companions or their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. I want you to know that there is a place that you can come when you're hurting. And everyone hurts, because we all have that. The church is a place that gives you an anchor to hold you. It's a place that when you're going through that storm, say, I can go to that place and find the love of God demonstrated among his people.
Amen.
Demonstrated among his people. And so I just submit to you today that there are some really great reasons to be a part of a local family of God.
Yep.
It's just some great, great reasons to be able to do that. And that's keeping it real. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about church, keeping it real for the next couple of weeks, nothing too long, just because I think it's important for us to understand how we walk some of these truths out. How do we walk out the truth of being worshipers in spirit and in truth? How do we walk that out to be worshipers? What does that look like? You know, because we're going to grow in our faith. We're going to be that family of God that when we're going through that, it's like, I'm just going to grow. I've watched some of you, I'm not going to point you out specifically, but I've watched some of you come into this church, receive Christ, and change before my very eyes.
Yep.
I've watched it. He can do that because the love of God is that real.
Yes, he
is. And the being a part of the called out ones assembling together is so important. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father God, for the encouragement of being a part of a local church, being a part of the family of God. Lord, that it's a place where we can find hope, we can find answers, we can find love, we can find forgiveness, we can find help. All of the things that we just mentioned. Lord, I thank you that you have called us out of the darkness into the light to be a part of your family in this place. Father, I pray that your love would touch each person now, whether they're watching online or whether they're here in person, that you would draw people to that love, the love of God, that will restore, that will wash away, that will change every situation in the name of Jesus. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here today and you might not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you want to receive his love and his forgiveness in your life today. You want to start a new life with Christ. I want you just to raise up your hand and say, that's me. I want to start a new life in Christ. Is there anybody at all that would raise their hand and be bold enough to say, that's me? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Maybe you're here and you've known the Lord, but you've been away from him. I'm not talking about necessarily physically away from church, but you've been away from him in your heart. You haven't talked to him. You've been doing things on your own. And today you want to come back to the Lord and just say, Lord, I want you to be involved in my life every single day. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand. Is there anybody at all that wants to recommit their life to Jesus? Let's just all pray this simple prayer out loud together. It's just a way of recommitment and a way of receiving Christ's love and forgiveness. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. That you give me a new life. Because I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for my sins, and he rose from the dead. And today, I call him my Lord and my Savior in the name of Jesus.